How do you feel being my co-host now?
Oh, I get the co-host. Sunday never got the official co-host, and then you gave it to me.
Yeah.
Hear that, Sunday?
Yeah. Sunday's never listening.
I'm texting her that clip right now. But I have been there from the jingle of the greenhouse effect.
I don't know if you can really call that day one. You were more like the hired help.
I was the hired help's intern.
Yes, actually, that's more accurate.
It was there at day zero.
You were day one.
It was day one, but yeah. Maybe day one and a half.
Yeah, day one. We got to have Tommy back on.
That would be a blast.
Because Tommy was the original co-host. Sunday's been on for how long now?
Whatever I say, it's probably longer now at this point.
At least a couple of years.
Yeah.
And 100 episodes or more.
Which is crazy. This is episode 222. It's a lot of episodes.
If you missed the announcement, was it the last episode? We got it. I think it was
It was like four episodes ago. But last episode was the last episode with Sunday as the full-time co-host.
That's right.
Which is a little sad.
It is very sad.
It was really fun.
She's standing over in the corner, though.
Hey, Sunday.
So if you missed that a few episodes ago, we explained the transition here, but Sunday is still part of the greenhouse team, but just shifting her focus, and we're mixing up the format of the podcast. It's exciting because we're also, I'd say, dialing in for the whole company, like what it's always been meant to be. And, you know, a little thing called the pandemic and a few other things,
minor details,
have just kept us from fully dialing it in. And really, it's always been about the whole person, like helping you create the life you want and understand like what you want out of life in all the different categories, mm-hmm. career, relationships, personal growth, leadership. And so we've kind of hit on all those different buckets on the podcast, but then I would feel like, but Joe, like we went down one path to the exclusion of the other. Mm-hmm. And so this new format is going to help us kind of hit on all of those topics.
Yeah. Part of what's cool about this is the topics are moving away from necessarily like a specific how-to on something, you know, business owner or whatever, to more of a conversation with guests, other greenhouse coaches. I was going to say a conversation with you. That's called a monologue.
No one wants that.
Maybe a monologue that they'll add a word or two in.
Yeah.
But these conversations that are around themes that I think apply to coaching the whole person, they can meander a little bit more. And then at the end of the episode, you're coaching us.
Coaching.
You're breaking it down. And if there was something that resonated in the top or the topic as a whole resonated, you're providing a little bit of maybe like a next step to go to.
Well, you and I were kind of cheesing about the end, the coaching segment, because for years we've dreamed about like, should we just be actually coaching sessions on air mm-hmm. as a podcast? Should we do some kind of mock coaching or like record something and bring it in? And there's this element of, there's something really cool and magical that happens in a good coaching conversation that no one else gets to, you know, get anything out of it. What if we could somehow share that with people? And I do know there's podcasts out there mm-hmm. now that do, especially, isn't a show called Couples Therapy where it's like, they like actually just
have couples therapy.
Yeah. It's just filmed. And, but there's something cool about being a fly on the wall for that. And this feels like the right way to do that. We will just give this, like some coaching tips or some next steps or whatever it is, like breaking it down at the end based on the conversation we just had, which probably meandered through a topic or two. Okay, so today's episode is Ashley Jablow. We met not that long ago, but it felt like we had known each other our whole lives.
Y'all had known each other for longer than you had.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So she had worked, she's had a fascinating career. She worked in the White House some. She worked at IDEO, which was the part I cared about, and knew a mutual friend, David Beath, and he had introduced us like 3 years ago on email, and we never followed through. She was like rummaging through her email one day a few months ago. She's like, hey, we never actually met. So we got together, had coffee. And, yeah, I mean, 2 hours in, we still could have gone for two more. It was just one of those kind of conversations. So we talked about a bunch of stuff. She's going to come on the podcast a few times to try and hit on different topics, but she is a coach now, but background in design thinking, you know, product design, user experience, all these interesting things. Now she's a coach. She's helping people grow in their life, in their leadership, in their confidence. And I love the way she like pulls things from her background into the coaching.
I think we talk about it more in the second episode with her in a couple of weeks, but she has these super awesome watercolor note cards that are all on her Instagram too. And so we will link that in the show note or the description. Yes. It's not even called show notes anymore, the description, but you should 100% check it out because they were awesome.
Yeah. I think we called it out in our conversation, but let me just get her Instagram handle, which is, she's just Ashley Jablow, J-A-B-L-O-W. So yeah, she's got no G, just a J. But yeah, you see, she has got a bunch of posts on of the watercolors, and they're like these little cards with either prompts or inspiration things or like frameworks. And yeah, it's a perfect example of taking things that I also experienced in design thinking world into the coaching sphere.
Yeah. So here's Ashley.
Maybe I'll move this pillow. I appreciate
adjust
the pillow,
whatever
but
you want. It's a small space, so we have to be.
You got to get creative with
it. Fine. Yeah.
You're from Palo Alto.
I can handle it.
We're gonna be in a garage later today.
She's more comfortable in a garage. I don't know if I've told you this story, but so my mom. Going way back. So I'm from Palo Alto. I grew up there. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was one of the first employees at Hewlett-Packard. If I ever told you this. He was recruited in like the 50s by Bill Shockley to come out to Silicon Valley before it was Silicon Valley, to work on semiconductors.
A legend in the studio right now.
I think his employee number was like 00009. Like
he's like almost in the Steve Jobs book. Yeah. I've been reading the biography. It's taken me a long time, but
they
get into that era a lot.
So my whole family was on the East Coast, but they moved to Palo Alto when my mom was a kid. Like Silicon Valley was fruit orchards then. Like, nothing like we know it today. Mm-hmm. And in the 70s, maybe, my grandmother started an antique business in Palo Alto. Like, she had a retail store. Uh-huh. And she had it for many, many years. And then when I was born, my parents separated, and my mom went into business with my grandmother and converted the whole thing into a bead business.
Okay.
So my mom has been selling beads for 40 plus years, put me through private school, put me through college, the whole thing. She grew up like in the Silicon Valley that was the original kind of Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. One of her first retail locations was below Facebook's very first office in Palo Alto.
That is a cool story.
And I remember I remember being, I don't know where, maybe I was in college at the time. She was like, we have these young guys upstairs and they're,
probably
you
a
know,
lot of gripes.
They don't, and it was truly like, they don't throw out their garbage. You know, we're having such a problem with these Facebook guys because they're not throwing out their garbage. But in any event, I'm very firmly rooted, like from a family perspective, in Silicon Valley, and have seen the shift, certainly myself, but even in my grandfather's story. He ended up working at Hewlett-Packard until he was 93, I think was when he officially retired. And then he consulted for Agilent for a number of years. They like couldn't get rid of him.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of my Silicon Valley roots. And very proud of the bead business that put me through school.
You could sell these stories. You could sell the gripes about Facebook early, like the things she heard.
That's so true. I probably could.
You could sell it in like, what is it called? Like the images that are now digital products. That's crazy.
You talking about the NFTs?
NFTs.
Oh,
you could
gosh.
Sell some like early Facebook gripe NFTs.
Oh gosh, yeah. You know, my mom is always innovating. She's always on her toes.
Oh my gosh. That's so cool. So what's fun to me about that is I grew up in a very like, I never know what to call it because it wasn't blue collar, but it was Midwest. Hmm. There definitely wasn't like banking or anything in town. It was actually pharmaceutical manufacturing. Hmm. And, you know, family roots were a little more blue collar or like lower middle class and Midwestern jobs and stuff. I mean, we thought it was normal until we grew up and went other places. Yeah. But I always had like an innovative spirit and an entrepreneurial spirit in me that didn't fit in where I was at. So it was like, you're always kind of looking for those, you know, whatever, when you see stuff or even just in a movie, like that resonates with you. Mm-hmm. Silicon Valley, I didn't realize it till later, was kind of like this utopian, almost like this, this thing to me that I looked up to.
Yeah.
So actually from a young age, IDEO, where you worked, was like my idol. I was like, one day, that's what I want. Because I wanted to be an inventor. I was like,
oh, wow.
There's this company called IDEO and they invent stuff. And just Silicon Valley, as it was starting to become a thing, to me was like, oh, that's the dream.
Yeah.
And so it's just fun. Like your stories to me have a bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That like nostalgia thing.
I mean, I grew up going to school down the street from Stanford. Mm-hmm. You know, we got started talking about my mom and my family, because for a while my mom did run her business out of our garage. So like,
yes, the first core, bead startup.
Yeah, really. And so I grew up really, you know, absorbing that. Even at the time I knew it was kind of rarefied air. Yeah. I knew there was something really special about this place. Mm-hmm. And it totally informed, I guess it gave me like a halo effect. Mm-hmm. I felt really special. I felt really unique to be from this really incredible place. And I feel so lucky that I got to see the growth of Silicon Valley during that really, really pivotal time. And it's also really interesting, right? As we get older and we start to have different perspective on our childhood, different perspective on what home means. Mm-hmm. I go back now and it's such a joy to see friends and family. It's such a joy to, you know, oh, this is where I used to love to get sushi, or like, you know, I love going shopping at Stanford Shopping Center, you know? But it's not what it was.
Yeah.
And I can't tell if that's because the place has actually changed or because I've changed. Maybe both. I don't
know. Probably a little both, yeah.
But it's funny because I never thought I would live anywhere but the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And multiple times my life has taken me in a different place, like literally a different geography.
Yeah.
And now I'm kind of good with that. It took me a really long time to reckon with that. And I still have, I mean, you see me talking about it. Like, I'm so proud to be from
Palo Alto. But you went to University of Michigan and then you met the best people on earth. So then you're like, actually, this is home.
Some of the very best people I know are University of Michigan alums and fans. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. I want to talk about football so bad. And Joe has a football podcast.
Oh,
I mean, it's other things too, but it's a lot.
But it's mostly football.
Undrafted Amateurs, slight plug. It's like,
appreciate it.
They do a lot of NFL stuff. So this is his,
these
couple of weeks are like this is his day.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I would be a really boring guest on that podcast.
I would too. I mean, growing up with Lions, it was hard after Barry Sanders to watch.
Yeah.
So, and then I never had a team where I lived. So it's also hard for me to get into pro and I try to participate. I just struggle.
No.
So wait, you've been on a few podcasts recently. Mm-hmm. Have those been like people reaching out to you because of the work you're doing now, or?
Yeah, mostly people reaching out to me because of coaching.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, and my fun. Own story.
Yeah. Well, nice. Well, it was fun because when we got together, we instantly got into all things like personality types and human archetypes. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could talk for hours about this.
We could.
It was fun because you and I had some things similar that, like, you said a couple of things that resonated with me too that actually opened my eyes the more I thought about it recently, that I definitely wanted you to share about today.
So I'm a seeker. I love to learn about lots of things. What I have figured out over the last number of years in particular, though, is that I love to learn about myself, which actually is kind of a hard thing to even acknowledge. For a really long time, it felt kind of self-indulgent or self-absorbed. But I love learning about myself. And I've learned that when I'm curious about a question, it often means other people are curious too.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can go first, right, if I can figure out how to make sense of my own life and my own path, I know I can help other people.
Yeah.
So I'm often looking for entry points into learning about myself that feel new or different, or in particular that feel really resonant, that yeah. where I feel seen in them. Excuse me.
Was that a thing for you all your whole life, was learning about yourself a thing? Mm-hmm. Because I found that I didn't actually know that was a thing people do and you're kind of allowed to do. Mm-hmm. It's like you go to school and you mm-hmm. learn about math. Like you learn about history. You don't learn about how people work.
Yeah.
Just because I wasn't in the world of that growing up. And now I'm like, no, that's my favorite thing. It's like understanding why people do what they do.
Yes.
Was that early on for you too, or more?
I think it has always been a thread for me. A through line has always been, I want to deeply understand myself. Mm-hmm. What I didn't realize actually until I trained to become a coach was that not everybody asks themselves these questions.
Yeah.
Like I remember going into coach's training. Oh, I just have to tell this story.
I know where you're going with this.
I remember going into coach's training and I was kind of like flirting with the idea. Mm-hmm. I'd been laid off recently. I was trying to figure out what I was going to do next. I was in a period of really designing the next phase of my career and by extension, my life. So I decided to try out coach's training. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget walking into the training room. It was like a windowless ballroom at a hotel in Georgetown, I think, in uh-huh. D.C. And I was a few minutes late, which I hate. I hate being late. So I was already feeling like a little skittish and kind of embarrassed, like, oh, shoot, this is not the first impression I want to make.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget walking in and there are like 20 people mingling and chatting. It's super loud in the room. And one of the instructors comes up to greet me and he says, oh, you must be Ashley. Of course, I'm like, it's because I'm the only one who's not here. Like, of course, you know who I am, right? Uh-huh. And he says to me, we've been expecting you. We're so glad oh, you're gosh. Here. I know.
Oh, wow. Like, oh, we've been expecting you.
I know. And he says to me, we're just mingling, getting uh-oh. To know each other. And the question that we're all asking each other as we get to know one another is, what is my life's purpose?
Oh, God. Wow.
And you know what's so funny? So every time I tell that to mm-hmm. people, they're like, oh, geez. Mm-hmm. I heard that and I lit up. Yeah. It was like, I found my people. Mm-hmm. So I think I've always really yearned to understand myself. And I've always known that when I can role model what I'm learning and what I'm practicing, that it helps others.
Yeah.
I don't think I really had given myself the full permission, though, until the last 5 or 6 years
okay.
to actually acknowledge this is something I'm driven to discover yeah. about myself.
Yeah.
And it's unique. It's not something that everybody, you know, I mean, I was like, I'll talk to any stranger on the bus about what is oh, their totally. Life's purpose,
that's
you know?
Great. And I'm in the same, yeah, that's so fun to me. And I'm in the same boat as you, even the timeline of that, because yeah, growing up, I didn't know this was like a career path or yeah. that like there were people who liked to do this and not. All I knew is if we were around the fire pit and we were talking about big life purpose things, that's my jam.
Yeah.
And then I'm still the one left when everyone's like, I'm going to bed. And I'm like, wait, let's go. Let's keep going. And same as you, it wasn't until maybe, I think for me, it was about 8 years ago, but kind of acknowledging, oh, that is a thing
yeah.
that I am more interested in than a lot of people. Although there are other people who are also interested yes. in it. And that can be a benefit to the world and a career path. It's a funny thing.
Yeah.
I used to say growing up, like, I mean, what do I want to do when I grow up? I don't know, but I love like chatting about your purpose in life around a fire pit. Is there a job for that?
Turns out there is,
yeah. But that was always a joke to me.
Yeah.
And so I can resonate with that. Mm-hmm. So you have you gotten into various like personality assessments over time or done different ones?
I've done some of them. I remember being in business school and we did the Myers-Briggs, mm-hmm. and I've flirted with the Enneagram a bit. I don't know. That's funny because some of those assessments almost feel too quantitative to me, like mm-hmm. too much about fitting into a box.
Yeah.
And I haven't totally found them to be really resonant.
Yeah.
The one that I've shared with you that I kind of stumbled on myself a year or two ago is human design.
Yeah.
And human design has probably been the closest I've come to seeing myself in a mirror and saying, oh, that's me. I mm-hmm. recognize myself.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I could tell when you brought it up with me, because I had kind of heard about it here and there, but hadn't dove in. And then, but there's, I mean, like all of these tools, it can reveal different layers mm-hmm. than you've seen before. Mm-hmm. And something popped out to me that I've noticed like a lot of creatives or people helpers resonate with, and I'm just broadly generalizing there, but you said something about needing and wanting to be invited into things. Mm. And you know how it can happen? Like you probably meant something specific by that and you had a picture in your head. And I instantly like snap judgment, like applied my own filter to it. Mm. So it's probably different than yours. I'm curious to hear yours. But what clicked for me immediately when you shared that was, yes, I love collaborating with people. When like I love collaborating with others who are all in, and we're both all in. And what I really have never liked is managing people where you need to kind of pull them along and check in on them a lot, because that feels against my grain. I don't want to cajole or force anyone into anything, but when they're in and I'm in, I love it. And and actually as a leader, that's where I'm a great leader. Mm. I'm not a great manager who needs to kind of like check in and be like, did you do that?
Yeah.
And that's a dynamic I've always noticed more and more over time, but never had words for. Mm-hmm. Shows up in my personal relationships too, in my marriage. And like something about when you shared that aspect of your human design needing to be invited into something, it made me jump right to that, which was a big light bulb for me. Mm. Now, I've noticed since that conversation, though, like the downside is I never fully heard what you meant by that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Sorry. I just instantly was like, yeah.
Well, but so this is the thing that, and I can really only speak from my experience because mm-hmm. I'm not an expert in human design. I'm a student for sure. Mm-hmm. But so human design, I think of it as sort of part science and part spirituality. It's a mix of a whole bunch of different Eastern philosophies and traditions. You know, it looks at the zodiac mm-hmm. and the planets and what position they were in when you were born. And it spits out essentially a blueprint for how to understand yourself. But it's not like StrengthsFinder or Myers-Briggs where it, you know, it's about your leadership or it's about, you know, your kind of inherent skills. Mm-hmm. It's more about actually how you manage energy mm-hmm. and how you are designed to make decisions and truly like what part of you is best positioned to make those decisions.
Yeah.
So what is your strategy for moving through life?
Yeah.
And how do you know when you're moving through life in an aligned and authentic way? So that they talk about, you know, energy types, they talk about strategy and kind of your authority for uh-huh. how you make decisions. The thing that's been so interesting is there's also, they call it your, when I say they, I mean scholars of human design, teachers of human design, they call it your not self theme. So how do you know both when you're in alignment, what does that feel like?
Yeah.
And then also when you're out of alignment, yeah. what does that feel like? Uh-huh. And for me, that has been so resonant and so eye-opening because it's really given me both language to describe like what's going on with me right now? Uh-huh. I just feel really like bitter and resentful and I can't figure out what is that trying to tell me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually for me and my unique signature.
Yeah.
It's telling me I'm out of alignment, right? It's like a breadcrumb to pick up.
Yeah.
So it's given me language to see myself and describe myself. And it's also really given me permission to be honest about what I'm actually all about and who I am. Mm-hmm. And what are my gifts and how do I best express them in the world, right?
How would you describe some of that stuff at this point?
Yeah, so I'm a projector, which is my energy type, which actually means I don't create energy. I absorb and kind of take in other people's energy mm-hmm. and that fuels me.
Uh-huh.
So for example, when we have a great conversation, Steve, I will feel like I could go run a marathon afterwards.
Yeah.
And that's not necessarily because I've created that energy for myself, but because I feed off of the energy that we create collectively together.
Can I get credit for the marathon?
Absolutely.
Then?
Absolutely. I don't know if a marathon might be extreme.
I never run it, but like I have done many a marathon. That's awesome. So no, that's a helpful description.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So a projectors and there are 5 energy types in human design. I won't go into all of them, but as a projector, my strategy, so the way that I can move through the world most successfully and see the accomplishments, see the fulfillment, yeah. the true impact that I want to make is by being recognized by other people first and then being invited to share what I know.
Yeah.
So projectors are systems thinkers. We can see new, more efficient ways of moving through the world, whatever that system is. And part of that is because we just have sort of smaller energetic batteries than a lot of other people. So we have to be really efficient with our energy.
Huh.
So my strategy is to be invited, just like being invited onto a podcast, right? And when I started to look back on all of the moments where success has come easily to me, it is because someone has either deliberately invited me to do something, like be on a podcast, or sort of energetically let me know, hey, Ashley, I'd like your perspective on this.
So did you struggle in jobs with, you would do great work, but wouldn't,
So
see, that's where the connections were, because even though I'm not the projector type, right? But I resonate with that where I think I've shared it on the pod before. It's like there, I wanted to just do great things and then be acknowledged for that. But a lot of workplaces, you have to kind of fight for your own and brag about yourself.
Yeah.
And I find that to be true among peers in these kind this kind of work.
And so when I think about my own career, the times where I have felt like I'm, you know, beating my head against the wall is have been the times where I have felt unrecognized, where I have felt unseen. Or when I was trying to convince people, hey, wait, this is a problem or this is an opportunity. And and it's like nobody, literally nobody wants to hear it.
Yes. Oh, I've felt that so many times. Yeah. And it's like you're not being arrogant that you're always right, but you know when you are or when what you're saying matters.
Yes.
But you now have to convince people it matters. That was part of what was so hard for me in kind of the big corporate environment. But does that mean you also would, like, you wouldn't have asked to be on this podcast per se, but me inviting you, you're like, absolutely.
It's interesting. I mean, and this is where there's a lot of nuance that I'm still learning, but I know we've had a number of conversations where it has felt very much like there is an energetic invitation to continue partnering in some way.
Yeah.
So even if I had said to you, hey, Steve, I'd really like to be on your podcast, there's still an invitation that that you're issuing by recognizing me, by wanting to talk to me, by wanting to learn from me. And it's funny because, of course, we all want to be seen.
Yeah.
We all want to be recognized. And what I'm learning is just like not everybody wants to talk about what is my life's purpose. Not everybody has this really deep yearning. And not everybody has this same kind of starting point for making things happen in the world.
Well, I mean, I have experienced, we're just uncovering this dynamic in our marriage a lot, me and Ashley, because I am, and maybe we'll get to my human design in a second.
Absolutely.
I'm not the projector, but everything you just said, I resonate with. And I kind of wait for someone else to be, maybe it's not the invitation as much as that collaboration I said. Like I wait for them to also be interested in whatever we're talking about or doing. And so I definitely bring that into our relationship where I don't ever want to force her to like do anything that isn't already like on her agenda. So I'm kind of like waiting for her to, you know, say, hey, let's do this or let's go there or whatever. But what I've learned about her, you know, we're both learning this about each other. She's more of a responder in life. So she's waiting for me to initiate and say, hey, let's go over here. Let's do that. And so neither of us, so no, there's no one, no one's connecting the dots. No one's starting anything. And I think that has been so helpful as we've uncovered that layer because it's kind of at the root of so many of what becomes tensions or challenges for us. And I'm going to say this might be You can disagree with me. You worked at the White House, so you know better than me. I actually am starting to believe more and more as I do this work that these tiny nuances are actually at the root of all the biggest global conflicts and wars and whatever you can point to as the biggest problems in the world. I actually think they start with these things and then they blow up into bigger conflicts. But it's the same dynamic in our relationships where it's like, well, that tiny little moment where I was waiting for you and you were waiting for me leads to 6 months later, some big fight that's like a fallout. And it actually just started with that strategy thing where both of our strategies for life are natural and we and almost subconscious because we don't even, it's just how we are. Mm-hmm. And I love that they call it your strategy for life because it sounds weird. It sounds like strategy is something you sat down and planned.
Yeah, no.
But actually what we're talking about here is something that's born into you that you just naturally show up doing in the world. But if you're not conscious of it, then those two strategies with another person or with a group can conflict.
Yeah.
And now we're at odds, but actually it was just, we were each just trying to do our normal way of doing things.
Yeah.
I almost love that they use the word strategy because it it's provocative to me. It's like strategy sounds like when you were 3 years old, you sat down with a notebook and were like, all right, here's how I'm going to navigate life.
Yeah. It's so interesting. A couple things come to mind. What has been unlocked for me as I've studied human design and really started to relate it to my own life and literally my strategy, like in my business, in my marriage.
Your intentional strategies.
My intentional strategies, I liken it to stepping into the current of the lazy river. If you've ever like been in a lazy river.
Great Wolf Lodge 2 weeks ago.
There you go. So you
it
know.
It wasn't fast enough though. Oh, well. It's not a good analogy.
Okay. But the current is what we're getting at, right? So stepping into the current and allowing yourself to be carried. As opposed to, like, I think about when I went, my last lazy river experience was with my 11-year-old. Uh-huh. And he dropped something as we were floating. And so, of course, mom has to step in, fight against the current, and go get the thing that he dropped, right?
You're that girl.
I am, like, literally pushing and swimming upstream. Uh-huh. And so, for me, as I've started to learn about my strategy, about how I make decisions, my authority, about how I know when I'm in alignment or I'm not, it has felt like stepping into the current and allowing myself to be carried rather than fighting. And it, I think it's so important, especially for people who feel I guess I want to say like othered in some way, you know, whether that's at work or out in society, we are not all meant to fit the same mold. And yet the traditional guidance out there, right? The, you know, the hustle harder, wake up at 5 a.m, you know, to start your day, win the day kind of thing,
all
right?
All three of us could talk about that one. You know, waking up at 4 a.m., sorry.
It's, you know, there are places, I think probably for all of us, where we are not designed to do what everybody else does. And so for me, the biggest unlock has been the permission to say, actually, I live differently. I work differently. That's really important to me. And I'm going to start honoring that and see what happens. Right. And see how my success and my impact can be amplified by actually listening to that unique blueprint. That's me.
Well, and you said it earlier, it actually frees others up to be themselves. Yeah. And here's what bugs me. I'll say it because I know a lot of listeners have this too. I grew up in a, I think a lot of us grew up in a context where that was like, you hear those words like be yourself or just like living your true, what's the phrase lately? Like, living your truth. And a lot of people like kind of what I grew up in can react to that. Like that has a negative connotation. That sounds really self-focused and bad.
You're
not, or it sounds too woo-woo. Like, oh, that's just like a, you know, weird and new agey. And what I'm realizing when the more I get into this stuff is I don't think that's the case. Now, I do think sometimes people can take on these ideas and get very self-absorbed with it. So there's a balance to be had. But I think actually when you start living into how you're truly wired, you free others up to be themselves because they see that. It gives them permission. And we're all going to be better off when we're being ourselves because we need that diversity.
Yeah.
The problem is when we are trying to, yeah, just conform to one thing, we get out of whack. And then, you know, we need 30 years of therapy to even uncover like how we've put on these masks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think it's, I'm just saying that for anyone out there who feels how I do. And it's like, oh, just live your truth. And something deep inside of me still set has, there's that voice of like, No, that's BS. You're not supposed to,
yeah.
That's actually just woo-woo. And it's like, I see it differently now.
Yeah. That it's so interesting because it, I was thinking this morning as I came over here, like what is something that I really foundationally believe in?
Mm-hmm.
And this is getting really deep really quickly, okay. Steve, of course.
Well, don't mind me. I'm just looking, there's something you said about this. I'm looking for the note.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I really fundamentally believe in is that each of us has the capacity to live a life, I guess I would say, of your own design,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm not necessarily talking about of human design mm-hmm. or even of design and innovation, but of yeah. your own creation.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it is woo-woo. Yes, it can be. It can feel self-indulgent or like navel-gazing. And I really believe that each of us has this opportunity to tune into who we truly are.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can tap into the courage, when we can tap into the courage and the bravery and the creativity and curiosity that's required
yeah.
to know ourselves and then do something about it,
yeah,
that's where we can all shine.
Yeah. And I think another flavor of the negative tinge to this is, well, a lot of people, especially at this point in time, we have people like us who grew up with a lot of privilege and comfort, but also generations of people and younger generations, but a lot of people who grew up with a lot more struggle and challenge. Mm-hmm. And so there's that conflict, and typically it's like, whatever, the boomer versus the Gen Z or something, yeah. but it's the, hey, no, life is about struggle, and you have to also just like, you know, sacrifice, work hard, go through the struggle. And it sounds too privileged to say this stuff.
Yeah.
And so I always feel the need to acknowledge, like, of course it's privileged that you and I could have the time right now to just talk about all this. Of course. But also I can't discount the reality, the facts that human beings all are wired different.
Mm-hmm.
That is just fact right in front of us. So, of course, to me, that makes logical sense that we should understand that better and live into that versus almost like disassociating and acting like it's not real. Oh, no, it's not real that we're all different and yeah. that we all have different ways of interacting. We just got to like kind of grind it out and struggle and just like get through life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think of it like a yes and I'm so glad you shared that because it's true. You know, I'll talk to people who've just been laid off and they are anxious about how they're going to pay their mortgage next month.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reality for so many people.
Yeah.
And that's something to listen to. Like, I'm not going to sit you down and ask you about your life's purpose when yeah. you're like, I don't know how I'm going to afford groceries this week.
Yeah.
Right. So it is very true that a lot of us, many of us, are facing visible and invisible struggles that make daily living really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the yes and part.
Yeah.
I really believe that each of us has the capacity to do this kind of introspection if we're willing to and open to it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's been the greatest opportunity, truly, not just to know myself, which again yeah. can sometimes feel self-indulgent or self-absorbed, but knowing myself in service of allowing and opening up that opportunity for other people to do it too.
Yeah.
Right. When I sit down and I think about, you know, I just recently sat down and updated my values,
nice.
Right? My values for my business in particular yeah. for this year. And sitting down to do that was an invitation again for my husband mm-hmm. to sit down and say, well, what are our family values? Should we do a refresh there? Right. And as we are facing kind of a challenging season with a tween. It's a whole new world with a tween,
yeah,
right? That opportunity to sit down and clarify our family values is something that's going to have an immeasurable impact on my son,
yeah,
as he gets older. And as we impact him, then you think about him going into his school community and how he shows up with the values that are important to our family,
yeah,
right? And the ripple effect that's created purely by stopping and saying, is there an opportunity to know myself a bit more deeply,
yeah,
a bit more honestly? And then, again, like I said, am I willing to actually begin to take steps to recalibrate my life so that I'm living in alignment with who I really am?
Yeah. Yeah, it does so much to help human interaction and repair,
yeah,
problems when we realize, yeah, it almost like makes our differences a third party that we can look at, mm-hmm, separately from like thinking you're so terrible because we had a conflict. It's like, oh no, you have this life strategy and how you're wired, and I have a different one, and that's why like we had that,
yeah,
disagreement, yeah, or tension. Or and then on the positive side, it helps all of our relationships and our work and everything to be more productive and fun and positive when we can recognize the differences and how that's a good thing.
Yeah. So many of us, in fact, probably every one of us, feels lonely and alone when we are faced with environments that don't feel welcoming, environments that don't feel aligned to who we are, mm-hmm, and how we best work. And the irony is that, you know, it feels so isolating. We feel so alone when we're like, I don't fit here. I work differently than everyone else does. And the truth is we all feel that way, right? And so the more that we can each of us own, this is who I am. This is how I'm best set up to move through the world. This is how I make decisions. This is how I know myself. The more each of us can do that, the more that opens up the opportunity for everyone else to do it. And actually for us to realize, oh, I'm not alone here.
Yeah.
This is, you know, in fact, it does make me think of when I started my business, Wayfinders Collective. And that is a whole nother story I'll tell you at some point. But I remember, you know, the name Wayfinder came to me. I was actually on a red eye flight going from Portland to DC. And very long story short, I was feeling totally depressed, totally depleted. I'd just been laid off. I had no idea what I was going to do next. And I felt so isolated. Like, how am I ever going to explain this story? How am I ever going to make sense of this and kind of get back on the horse, you know? And sitting on that red eye flight, you know, like awake in the dark and just angry. And the phrase creative wayfinding popped into my head. Just out of nowhere, creative wayfinding. And I remember thinking, you know, that's actually what we're all doing. We are all, you know, wayfinding is the act of navigating the open ocean using the stars and the wind and the current and your own intuition to find your way to a destination, right? And that's something we are all doing. And unfortunately, the way this is sort of set up, the way the game is rigged, mm-hmm, is it forces us to think that we're by ourselves. You know, I'm on the open seas by myself in my own little rowboat. How am I ever going to do this? When in reality, perhaps one of the most universal human experiences is being out in that rowboat.
Yeah.
And we're actually all in our own rowboat. Mm-hmm. We might even be in one rowboat together. I don't know. But that's the thing. So whether you statistically fit into one group or another, we all feel alone and we all have the opportunity actually to see that shoulder to shoulder, everyone is right with us.
I loved this conversation on so many levels because we were really getting into the core of everything Greenhouse is about, understanding how you're designed, who you truly are, and then living in alignment with that and not feeling like you have to just fit some mold or just go with, you know, the flow of what has always been, but really taking a step back, understanding, what are you interested in? What are you passionate about? What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are the ways that you move through the world and getting your work and your life aligned with that. So you're not always feeling these tensions. And so I just want to kind of give a bit of a framework of how to think about this. If you were resonating with this episode, if there were certain things that stood out to you, but it's hard to know what to do with it. I want to offer an idea here. So three things. One is permission. Two is uncover. And three is steps. So one, permission. Like, you have permission that you don't have to fit the standard box on the org chart, the standard box of how others are doing life. You can be you, and you can navigate life in a way that's aligned with who you are. Myself, I've been stepping into this. We help people every day at Greenhouse do this. And so you have permission to do it too. But step two is uncover. And that's about understanding your wiring. So whether it's human design, or we do a lot with insights discovery, personalysis, Enneagram, however you want to do that step, whether it's an assessment or coaching, is start to understand yourself. How are you wired? What is your strategy, like Ashley was talking about? What is the way that you show up in the world so that you can understand what alignment would look like? And then step three is take the steps. Is start taking one step at a time. And the way this looks is to go ahead and list what are the areas of tension in your life, in your work, in your relationships, in your personal growth and development, in your lifestyle and experiences, in these different areas of life. Where are the tensions that you're feeling? And then you can decide a new approach based on understanding your wiring. And that's where coaching really does come in. Sometimes it's hard to do this by yourself or to see yourself clearly because you live in the weeds of your day-to-day life. And so it helps to have a third-party perspective that's helping to, A, point out these things about how you're wired and where you could show up differently, but also to help draw out the insight for yourself. Like, oh, this is something that's felt like it's in tension. I'm not really being me. I'm not really, you know, maybe this part of my work doesn't align with what I really want in life, my values and goals. And so you can identify that. You can very quickly see, oh, the way you're wired, you should actually show up different. So a great example for me was when I was working in the corporate world, I had to kind of go to an office with a cubicle type setting and sit there from 9 to 5 and do emails and meetings. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But for me, a lot about how I'm wired is variety and freedom to meet new people and explore new ideas. That's where I get my juice. That's where I make the biggest difference and do my best work. And so I realized I can't be in this setting where I'm literally judged based on where I, you know, the desk that I'm sitting at and for how much time. I need to be out there in the world meeting new people, making new connections, and creating new opportunities for people. So that informed my decision to start Greenhouse. But there's also small tweaks, you know, things like lately me and Ashley have realized, well, I'm more of a night person, she's more of a morning person. Like, when do we connect and talk about things in our relationship? And so we started doing coffee dates because we're both able to be present, and then we don't just put it off forever and ever. And that's like a little thing that we took both how we're both wired and kind of connected those dots. And so again, permission to understand who you are, uncover who you actually are, and then take a step to decide a new approach for something that's been misaligned in your life.